I hold space for that, and I allow what wants to be transmuted or transformed within the session then to come to the surface. And so by the time we go into the actual photography side of it, there's very rich material to work with. I guide whoever I'm with to allow themselves to be seen in a way that actually feels much more empowering. And really, it's like a reclamation of being seen in our soul's essence.
Creative engagement. Hello, I'm your host, Daniel Mandel, and I invite you to join us at the intersection of artistry and engagement. I'll be shining a light on the importance of authentic self-expression and participation in life. My purpose is to stimulate curiosity that will lead to play so that we can all live our most meaningful adventure. I'm a creativity coach, and I'm the chief encouragement officer. I work with people as creators and as artists to generate change through curiosity and imagination that invites creativity into problem solving to address life challenges. My guest this episode is Isha Tuddy Jackson from Cork, Ireland. A transformational photographer, filmmaker, and space holder. I was introduced to Isha through the singer-songwriter Lewis Barfoot, and in my preparations for interviewing Isha, I was brought back to the experience of meeting other artists through the Discipline of Freedom workshop in France and England and Scotland. Invariably, any nervousness or insecurity would almost instantly fade away and be replaced with joy and curiosity as we explored creativity together. It was indeed a joy to meet Isha through this interview. I was drawn into her description of transformational photography and how she holds space and creates a sacred environment for those she works with to be seen. Please follow the links in this episode notes to find out more about her offering called Wild Beings Being Seen. I so respect the empathetic approach, and it challenged me to examine, am I also working this way? Where could I do a better job of making each guest feel safe and heard and seen as their authentic selves? I want to announce a new format that I'm creating that I am calling encouragement sessions, where I will bring guests on who are willing to share their creative challenges and within this podcast discover their own successful outcome. I am very thrilled and excited to introduce Isha Tuddy Jackson from Cork, Ireland. And Isha is a transformational photographer, a filmmaker, and a space holder. So welcome, Isha.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
It's very exciting to have you here, partly because our mutual friend Lewis Barfoot introduced us. And I had interviewed Lewis recently, and it's lovely to meet another new friend from Cork. Yeah, so let's jump in. And I always start these with a question, just kind of in a general sense for people to get to know you better, which is, what has it meant for your life to be creative and to be engaged with your creativity?
Yeah, it's such a big part of my life, you know, and I think a big part of everyone's life, whether or not they're in tune with that or not. One of my dreams is to be living art. And I say that, and I think a lot of the time I am that, you know, more and more I am moving into that. But I guess it's like really that kind of dedication to a life of creativity and art and beauty. And I mean that in kind of, you know, a deep spiritual way, as well as a sort of aesthetic way as well, because it's kind of the dance between it all, you know.
It's a beautiful way to hold it. Yeah, I take it sort of at a deeper level of, isn't it amazing what we are? And to hold ourselves in a different way and see beauty in ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And it is, it's like, for me, it's kind of really a devotional path in a way, because it's, you know, and when I speak about beauty, it's not, I say aesthetic because, you know, yes, I love to light candles. I love to bring the senses and different things into my experience of life. So it's like creating pleasure and creating kind of beauty within my life. But it's not aesthetic in the sense of trying to make myself look a certain, you know, I like to express myself creatively through the way I wear clothes and everything I do, you know, but it's not, I don't mean it in a sort of a shallow kind of egotistical way. Really, I guess it's that devotional path of really allowing ourselves to be our fullest, most authentic, like most shining soul selves on this planet. I think we all move in and out of that throughout our lives at different points. But the older I've gotten, the more I've kind of, I guess, dedicated myself to this path, which again, I will call a devotional or a spiritual path, which very much involves being a creative being, a creatrix, you know, a artist. It's just something that I've always lent more and more towards, is how can I be doing that in every moment, you know, in every interaction, in every space that I move between. So it's important, I think, for me to really continue stepping forward in that way, you know, and allowing myself to shine. And that's, and by the way, just to say as well, I find that there's also so much beauty in pain, you know, in grief, in anger. So it's not about also it being always the light. I think there's also a lot of beauty in the pain of life and the shadow of life, but it's again maybe learning to kind of recognize that and also allow that to be you know, those storms to move through us.
Yeah.
Just as kind of the sunny, beautiful, bright days do.
I'm going to kind of tease out how you're defining transformational photographer, because when I look at your website and I see your photos, I feel like immediately drawn in, like, oh, Isha gets it. Like what I'm seeing here. Like, I've had some photo shoots trying to get ready to promote, I'm a singer-songwriter, promote music or my coaching. I saw your photos and I was like, oh, I wish I had gone to someone like Isha, because I see in people's eyes, I don't know if it's appropriate to, or the right words to say, their soul coming through, but I see something more than just they're set up right and framed right in the photo. So how do you kind of explain transformational photography?
Yeah, it's so interesting, because I guess just to go back a little bit to kind of to explain maybe how I got to this term transformational photography, which is actually fairly recent. I've been a filmmaker and photographer for, you know, maybe 14, 15 years now, you know, so weaving in and out of that freelance kind of world for a long time. And there was a period in my life kind of about maybe 10 years ago where I was living in London, and I was very caught up in the maybe more the egoic side of it, you know, this kind of wanting to be a certain, thinking that, you know, I needed to kind of conform and fit into this creative mold of like what it was to be like a cool filmmaker, you know, or a photographer. And I had a really big awakening around that, you know, when I moved back to Ireland and went through a big process around, why am I doing this? You know, why am I really doing this? Because that's not why I'm doing it. This path of a creative and of an artist, it's not, you know, that's not why, that's not a good reason to do it. And it's like, you know, you're not earning enough money to do it that way anyway. I mean, I might as well get a job, you know, a sort of a 9-to-5 and earn lots of money and then do the art on the side rather than, you know.
Right, the whole work-life balance. Like, how do you make that work for you, right?
Yeah, and if I'm going to commit to this path, it really needs to be from the depths of my soul. With the photography, one of the things I noticed when I was working with people, when I was shooting them, how much came up around, for me as a sensitive being, around noticing their discomfort with maybe seeing their image or you know, the judgment, the self-criticism, all the stuff that would arise. And I started feeling very overwhelmed personally by that, because, you know, there's only so much you can do as a photographer in terms of, you can frame it, you can make a beautiful photograph from your end, but, you know, if someone's going to be self-critical, like, that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with how perceivedly beautiful they are in that photograph. And I had this, I suppose, dawning about 8 years ago that there is a lot of potential in working with the camera in a healing way, and actually to kind of actually lean into that rather than to lean out of it, if you know what I mean.
As a photographer, you're entering into kind of a relationship with the subject. Everything about, like, preparation and your discussion leading up to it, when I introduce you also as a space holder, there must be something about how you're setting up that relationship and all the prep work that goes into that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just this last year, I really started to kind of honor that calling of really holding the space for healing and transformational photography. Being a courageous path, stepping into that, you know, stepping into what I really felt was being called for. And it hasn't necessarily, you know, there's been the part of me that's wanted to kind of shy away from it because I'm like, oh, not everyone, it might not be everyone's cup of tea. But as I've continued to trust myself and trust the process, it's becoming clearer and clearer how deeply aligned this is for me. And it really does feel, not just for me, obviously, because the feedback I've been getting from people is that it's been transformational. To answer then how I go about that is that I do weave my own kind of experience and many years of work, you know, self-work, my own spiritual kind of path into creating a space that is very sacred, you know. So I open a sacred space and I allow my own gifts of channeling or connecting to source and really allowing what wants to come through to support the person. And I mean, there's always a particular focus, of course, on being seen and what that means for that person. That may be on a very literal level around their kind of, you know, their, like, any kind of trauma they might have had around the camera or around being seen or their self-image, body confidence, anything along those lines. But it can also be something more deeply, you know, connected to, say, how they want to show up in their business or how they want to show up in this new chapter in their life. And so I hold space for that and I allow what wants to be transmuted or transformed within the session then to come to the surface. And so by the time we go into the actual photography side of it, there's very rich material to work with. I guide whoever I'm with to allow themselves to be seen in a way that actually feels much more empowering. And really, it's like a reclamation of being seen in our soul's essence. And rather than this kind of external kind of posing or trying to be seen in a certain way, or, you know, it's really reclaiming and remembering how we want to be seen from our core, you know, and how that can be such an empowering and liberating experience for people.
I'm hearing lots of aspects of you must be helping people feel safe and feel comfortable in their bodies. And it's a big deal to help people feel comfortable in the way that they're seen. It also sounds like, ooh, an interesting challenge to me as a podcaster. Am I doing the same for my guests? Am I setting up a supportive, safe environment? And I do think of ways that this is, in its own way, a ritual of sorts. Is it, let's set up a time for my guests to be seen and heard. And I do, like, try to, like, oh, am I asking the right questions? Am I teasing out the right information?
Yeah, I love that. That's so beautiful to kind of reflect it back to the podcast. And I mean, I can attest from my own side that it does feel like that, you know, because it's really a beautiful space where, you know, we don't have so many spaces in life where we're really deeply listened to or seen, or that we're allowing ourselves to be seen or to be really deeply listened to. I mean, so when someone invites you on a podcast, or, you know, you choose for yourself to go on a journey of transformation via being seen, for example, or you choose to go to a therapy session, or, you know, whatever it is you're choosing to do for yourself, it's really gifting yourself that kind of space to be seen or heard, which I think are our deepest needs and really our core needs as human beings. I mean, I think being seen and being heard are two of the very, very core needs that we have. The creating of the ritual and the ceremony around it, for me, allows it to just be a very, like you said, a very safe, held, supported space. And I do also work with a lot of archetypal energy when I'm doing my photography sessions. So, for example, if someone wants to step more into their inner king or their queen or their warrior, you know, I like to kind of draw on those energies and invite them into their, so, you know, it's really from the inside out, allowing them, you know, whoever I'm working with, to really channel and feel empowered.
That's really beautiful to hear. Yeah. I know that also, like, I have worked in myself with realizing those places where I tend to give myself away. Like, I know that term people pleasing, I can in some cases almost default to devaluing myself and deferring to others. And I think people pleasing tends to be a really widespread phenomenon. I observe it a lot in others, and then I catch myself doing it, or I realize after, say, a weekend, oh, I spent the whole weekend just giving myself away instead of standing in my own power. So I can appreciate the kingliness of let's view you and see you in your kingliness or your queen, in your royalty. That sounds like a really powerful way to choose to be seen.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I suppose it's interesting, you know, because of course, like all of this, like all of what I am sharing and offering to others comes from my own journey, comes from my own journey of transformation of, like you said, being someone who was very afraid of what other people thought about me, wouldn't, you know, share that truth and that depth of myself because I was constantly in fear that I'd be judged or criticized. And, you know, from my own personal trauma growing up, and, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself to get to this place. And I mean, I don't know, you know, one of the ways I photograph is nude photography, as I'm sure you've seen on my website. And it's really interesting, that journey of allowing myself also to be seen in my full naked truth. Because 10 years ago, I would have been absolutely terrified of that. Like, I was not comfortable in my body. I did not, you know, I had so many body issues. So to be now in a position where I really, truly am, like, I deeply do, I can, and it's so beautiful because this is really quite a recent thing, but I can honestly say I deeply love myself. And that is such a beautiful thing to be able to say and to hold and to be with, because it, you know, it's taken me a long, long time to get to this place. And then to support others, you know, with that, you know, because of course, like, I think I remember someone saying it to me, you know, many years ago, that our greatest gifts are often stem from our greatest, you know, challenges in life. And it's definitely true, you know.
I also want to ask you a couple questions. And I think that these questions are around the culture that you find yourself in Ireland, and you mention on your website that something about Cork as a home keeps you returning, that gives you the feeling of home. And I watched one of your films, An Open Door, and I just noticed how warm and inviting it was, and how intergenerational the subjects were. And there was one word that popped up, and I probably am not going to say it right, but it was something like Skrirtan, which was neighbors dropping by to play music. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I have a little bit of cultural envy, because in the United States, I don't find like a warm, open place where it's easy to set up a context to just play some music. And I did happen to just recently go to a friend's birthday party, and he knew that I was a singer-songwriter, so he invited me to come play some songs. And that was like a beautiful context. But tell me about what the culture, it just seems to me to be such a beautiful, warm culture to be a part of.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear you kind of reflect on all of that. You know, there are pockets in Ireland where it really is like that, and that there is more and more of that coming back. You know, I think that what you referred to in the film, the squirting, I think as well it's called, it's an old Irish term, was something that was very common, you know, in the past, but actually, you know, now it isn't so common. But there are, you know, there is a movement, there is people like the people at 49 North Street in the film who are, you know, really working to bring that kind of energy and that kind of connection and community back. And yeah, so Ireland is an amazing place in so many ways. And I'm so grateful to be on this land and also doing the work I'm doing, because as much as it can be challenging, because I feel like there's so much trauma here, you know, intergenerational trauma and ancestral trauma, you know, a lot of shame, a lot of like fear of the church, of course, and, you know, all of the kind of stuff that's come up around that, you know, over many, many years, and it continues to come to the surface. So when you're working with things like the nude body, for example, it really brings a lot up for people, like a lot more than it would in another place, I feel, or another culture. So I just because of what you said makes me also kind of just return to what I also feel very deeply with my work, is that it is very much about working with ancestral, you know, trauma, the trauma that is here present on the land in Ireland. It's that ancient wisdom of, you know, what we do here in this life really affects not just the generations before us, but the generations to come. You know, the seven, the number I've heard, of course, is seven generations before, seven generations to come. But I really, again, I feel like that's such an important thing to, you know, remember as beings here on this earth. And I guess it comes back to that path of devotion, you know, and, you know, why it's so important for us to continue stepping into our power and really sharing our truth. Whatever that is, because every single person has their own unique, you know, gifts to share. And the more we kind of step into that power and allow ourselves to be seen and heard in that truth, I think the more we empower others to do the same.
Isha, I also wanted to ask you about, you had mentioned that you're going to be bringing some of your work on tour, the wild beings being seen. And I wanted to hear more about that and give you a chance to kind of describe that kind of work, because it sounds very exciting.
Yeah, so that is, I co-facilitate with my dear friend, Fiona, Fiona Loughran. Between us, we kind of host these gatherings, which are, in some ways, it's kind of similar to the work I do one-to-one with people. But, you know, Fiona is a yoga teacher, and she does a lot of embodiment work and breath work practices. And she's also been kind of holding ceremonies in her own way for many, many years. And so, yeah, and so I would love to formally invite anyone who's interested in working with me or having wild beings being seen gathering in your part of the world to get in touch. Fiona and I are very excited to bring our wild beings being seen to other parts of the world. So if you have any interest in exploring more and finding out what it is to have a sacred soul session with me, or to join one of our gatherings, you can find me online on my website or on Instagram. And yeah, I look forward to hopefully meeting some of your beautiful listeners somewhere along the way, and yourself too, Daniel. Thank you. Between the two of us, we kind of hold these gatherings. We've done women's ones and a men's one, funnily enough, even though we are two women, which was quite a courageous and bold move. But you know, there's a lot to be said for being held by the feminine holding the masculine, and the masculine holding the feminine, and that's a whole other energy to a solo kind of women's or men's space. And we have a number of gatherings lined up in Ireland, and actually one in Germany, which is really beautiful, in the coming months, for women, for men, and also mixed spaces. And this is a relatively new offering, But basically, we bring people together. It's really about, again, doing that deep work of transformation around being seen and stepping into our truth. And there is an invitation to be naked as part of the kind of session, as the gathering. It's an invitation, as with everything. So there's no pressure. But really, it's allowing a kind of, you know, when we work in groups and when we come together in that kind of a way, it does, I feel, always amplify and allow a deeper space of transformation to take place, not just on a personal level, but on a collective level, you know. So in that coming together and really creating community and sharing with your sisters and brothers, you know, there's a huge opportunity to really shift consciousness, I feel, you know, on a deep level, not just within ourselves, but like I said, on a deeper, you know, more collective level. So it's really exciting work. It's very edgy. It's a big thing for people to come to a potentially nude gathering and be photographed. I realize it's a challenging space to step into in many ways, and yet it just feels so deeply necessary in a way to really allow us to step into our power more. I guess it's coming into that again. It's stepping into our power and allowing ourselves to really come into that space of deep self-love and inner confidence, you know, that allows us to really move in the world in a way that is in alignment with our deepest soul self.
I think anytime where you face your fears and you meet yourself in that process is part of what makes it transformational. So let me ask you, what words of encouragement would you have for people who are considering deepening their creative engagement or starting a new path, who may have their own trauma that they think, how can I possibly do that with my past? What words of encouragement would you have?
Yeah, I guess be patient is the first thing that's coming, because, you know, I don't think I necessarily had that patience on my path. But now that I'm where I am and I can look back, you know, I'm like, yes, there's a need to just be gentle and kind and compassionate to ourselves along the way. And again, what's coming forward very strongly for me at the moment is just trusting the process. So, you know, it's just those little steps we take to work on ourselves, you know, to heal that trauma, to transform whatever it is, and, you know, really trust the guidance that's coming forward for us too, you know, whether it be to go to an art class or you drop into, you do some dancing, you know, whatever it is that's kind of calling you, or, you know, book a therapy session or some sort of a holistic kind of treatment that's going to support you in better health. It's really just allowing your life to become that whole, trusting in the process and allowing yourself to kind of have, because I think for me personally, I used to put an awful lot of pressure on myself to achieve. So what I'm really working with very strongly at the moment, it's that Shakespeare quote, you know, that I've always loved about the world is a stage and we're all players. It's the sense of play and curiosity with life. And really, I think when we can actually just come into that space of playfulness and curiosity with our process, with our life, with the relationships we're having, it really lightens everything up, you know, and allows us to just be creative beings in every moment, you know. And it's, so I guess the play is also returning in a way to that kind of childlike innocence, you know, and really allowing ourselves to kind of move from that space of all of that kind of curiosity with life.
Esha Tutte Jackson, I want to just thank you so much for your willingness to participate and sharing your voice with us on this program. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute honor. Thank you so much, Daniel. So one of the things that I do to express myself creatively, and I have done for many years, is write poetry. And one day I'd love to have some sort of a poetry book, you know, along with the photography book and all the other things that that I have in my bucket list of creative dreams. But I thought I would share this poem. It's a poem I wrote about three or four years ago. I think it was actually during the lockdown. I was reading Women Who Run With the Wolves, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, and this kind of was born out of that. And I guess it's really a call to myself, you know, it's a call to myself to kind of come forth So yeah, that's why I thought it might be apt for this moment. Woman, lurking in the shadows, what do you find? Are you ready to face your own dark mind? Woman, wise, strong and true, are you ready to stand up and share each part of you? Will you lock the door, throw away the key, to be unsettled and clean to see? Or will you face your depths, stand tall in your shawl of golden thread, each thread weaving tales of those who came before or after? It is you who holds the key. Can you find it in the ashes of your broken ideals? Dig deep in the truth of your soul's dreams. You are here to rise up, meet your match, open your heart's desire, and replenish what's lost. Green, green grass, rolling hills, your body lies in beauty to behold. Bruised and battered, you are ready to be rained upon once more, rejuvenated and washed pure, rebirth and restore. For this is what we call forth. Simplicity of being, marrying ancient wisdom with new unchartered ways. For this we pray. For this we pray.
The Creative Engagement Podcast's mission is to have important conversations sharing LGBTQ+ artist, community leader, and creative stories as we encourage everyone to participate in life. Here are some ways you can help. Give our podcast some love. Creative Engagement is an independent, free podcast. Please follow Creative Engagement where you listen to podcasts. Your ratings and comments can help others understand the value. Send your questions and feedback to coach@danielrmandel.com. Share this episode with anyone who you think might enjoy artistic and creative ideas and encouragement. And finally, visit the Creative Engagement website, which is www.danielrmandel.com, to explore courses and coaching to optimize your life. Thank you for listening. I'm Daniel Mandel.
Creative Engagement.